Well, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. You know, there was always one question when I was younger that always filled me with a sense of dread. Also, it filled me with a sense of wonder, of excitement. And that was a question I'm sure all of us have been asked. In fact, I'm guaranteed everyone in this room has been asked this question or will in one day be asked of it. What do you want to be when you grow up? I'm serious. I mean, isn't it kind of strange? We asked this question when our kids, when they were in the third and the fourth grade. I didn't know what I wanted to be when I was in that grade. I had so many ideas of what I could be. I wanted to be a teacher, a doctor, a lawyer, a paleontologist. I was a weird kid. I'd stay up and watch all those PBS shows. The more boring, the better. I loved that kind of stuff. Never in my wildest dreams, though, would I have thought that I'd become a pastor. But I guess it was inevitable. You see, one day I was just sitting in church with my family, and our pastor, he got up on the pulpit. He adjusted his glasses, got his manuscript for the sermon, put it down, and began reading it. And everyone was in rapt attention, or sleeping, either one. And all I could think of, and this is little fifth grade Matthew, was sitting there with my parents, seeing a man going up there talking and everyone having to listen to him. And I said, boy, that looks easy. I could do that. Now, my parents are mortified because I said this out loud. But it was at that point that I felt it. This strange and wonderful thing that what we call the call for pastors, the call to serve God. And this call is not just for church workers or for pastors, it's for everyone. I'm sure at one point in your life, and for kids, you will probably know this at one point too, that you will feel called to do something. I always say the military people who work there know this the best. The call to serve your country, that inward voice that tells you to do something, to pursue something, to serve and protect, to be a pastor, to be a manager of people, to be a teacher, a lawyer, a doctor, or what have you. Every single job that we will come across in this life, when we actually go into our careers, has been our call. We feel we want to do this, that God is putting us here to do this. But there's other types of calls, though, too. A call is something that we cannot resist, something that no matter how hard we try, we always have our minds back to, a call that can only be demanded to be listened to. And it's that call I want to talk about today. That call that we have heard, actually, in our readings. First beginning with Samuel. We know the story very well here that Samuel is sitting and sleeping, and he hears the God calling to him, Samuel, Samuel. And he responds, after going to Eli, here I am, Lord, your servant is listening. Now, this is important because this then marks as a time when God will speak to his people by the prophets. You see, before this, there were judges who would judge Israel for going out and doing the wrong thing and bring them back to God. Now the time has come for the prophets of God. And there have been prophets before, but here now we have Samuel, who will be doing great and many things. He will go out and he will proclaim the Lord's word to the people of Israel. He will go out and lead them. He will go and he will actually anoint two kings for Israel. The first one didn't turn out so good. Saul had the look of a king, but none of the qualities of a king. And so Samuel will then go and follow the Lord's call and anoint David, the shepherd, to be king over Israel. And thus begins a pattern that we see now for much of the rest of the Old Testament, where we have the kings ruling and the word of God coming by the prophet. The prophet is then there to call people back toward God, to remind them of what God is doing for them. And he calls to the people of Israel and to the king himself. And this will go on for many years. Sometimes the word of the prophets would be listened to, and the people would prosper, and the Lord would bless his people Israel. Other times, the prophets are not listened to. They're hunted down, killed, or just ignored. Instead of crazy. And this happened actually in the further years in the future of Israel, where there was Jeremiah the prophet, who proclaimed, when everyone else was proclaiming good things are happening in Israel, it's a wonderful time to be an Israelite. The Lord is blessing us. There's nothing to be worried about. And Jeremiah, the prophet of the Lord, says that Israel will burn for their transgressions against God. No one wanted to listen to him. No one wanted to hear the call of God to repent. They'd rather believe that everything was okay and going great. But the Lord spoke to the prophet Jeremiah and said, well, Israel will burn. And so it did. And the Israelites were taken off into captivity in Babylon because they did not hear the call of God, didn't adhere to his rules and what they were going to do. And so the time of the prophets seemed to be coming to an end. There were others who were proclaiming the word of God. The priests finally, when Israel came back from captivity, set up a temple and were saying, we will make sure that we will always remember the call of God. We will do our very best to make sure that we will never stray again, that we will never go back to the days when we were so bad we got exiled into Babylon. And so they made rules, many rules. So many rules that over time these man-made rules became just as important as the ones God made. And for the chief priests and the rulers who are supposed to speak for God, to keep people reminded of the call of God, the call to be his, their rules suddenly went above God's. And so the call of God was mired, forgotten, muddied. And so we then come to our gospel reading. It's right after we hear the story of last week of Jesus being baptized and the word of God calling out from the heavens, "This is my son with whom I am well pleased." And now we have in John going right into it. We have Jesus calling out to his very first disciples. We see he's already called in John, he's already called two of them. One's from John the Baptist himself, two of his disciples. Then now he is called Andrew. He's called Peter and Philip. And with Philip, he goes now to grab his brother, Nathanael. Nathanael is just sitting underneath a fig tree. And Philip says, come and see. We have seen the Messiah. He's son of Joseph of Nazareth. And Nathanael responds with very candidly, can anything good come from Nazareth? See, Nazareth was pretty much the armpit of the whole of Israel around there. But Nathanael goes. He's probably not too excited. You see, this is the time of the Roman occupation of the people of Israel. There have been prophets and messiahs popping up left and right, rabble-rousers, revolutionaries. This Jesus of Nazareth, he's probably just one of the other ones. And so he comes. And Jesus sees Nathanael and says, ha, here he is, a true Israelite in whom there is no deceit. Now, some people want to say Jesus may was making fun of Nathanael here, but he was a true Israelite. See, Nathanael knew probably of the prophets, knew of the call of God. He knew what God was calling his people of old to do. And in there was no deceit. And so, Nathanael responds, how do you know this? And Jesus then says, I saw you under the fig tree. Nathanael immediately recognizes this and says to him, you are the Lord, the Son of God, the King of Israel. And Jesus responds like this. Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater thing than these. He said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, you will see the heaven opened up and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Nathanael was called by Jesus to be his disciple. Nathanael saw greater things than Jesus just seeing him underneath a fig tree. He saw Jesus calling out demons from people. He saw Jesus calling upon people to be risen from the dead. He saw Jesus healing the sick, calling the storms. He saw him walk on water. He saw all of these great and wonderful things. He was with Jesus. He heard the call of his Lord. He followed him after time and again, listening to him preach, listening to him give words of comfort. He listened to the call of Jesus, and when the time got going, the time got tough, he immediately ran away. You see, my brothers and sisters in Christ, there is the call to follow Jesus, the call to follow God, which has been heard throughout time, without time fail, in the Old Testament and the New Testament. But there's another voice, another calling that we see actually here with Nathanael. A call to run away, like all the disciples did. A call of sin. We actually see this even in our epistle lesson today, where the church in Corinth that Paul was writing to heard the call of their own sin, the call of their sexual desires. And that call was greater than the call of God. These weren't pagans. These weren't unbelievers. They were Christian, same as you and same as me. You see, the call to sin is a very hard call to ignore. It's easy to adhere to it. It doesn't have to just be the sin, the calling of the sin for sexual immorality. It can be as simple as giving in to our own desires, to giving in what we want over what God wants, to hear that call than the upward call of Christ. It's easy also to hear the call to be angry with someone, even though you have no right to be. It's easy to be angry at someone for doing such maybe a small slight against you. It's easy to adhere to that call instead of the call of forgiveness. Also, it is easy to adhere to the call of your own pride, to where you know that what you're doing might not be totally correct, but you are for sure correct in your own mind that it is this way. You are sure, and that no one coming up to you and no one else can tell you differently. You are going to keep on doing what you are doing because you know it is right. Everyone else is wrong. It's easy to adhere to that call, the call of our own selfishness and pride. So often it is easy to hear the call of our society, the call to say that everything is fine in this world. It's okay that our society has made what we know to be wrong okay. It's easy now to see that it's okay to maybe have a little side stuff going on. It's easier to say to society, it's okay that everyone else is going along this way, to heed that call over the upward call of Christ. My fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, it is not easy to be a Christian, to hear all of these different calls from outside of us and inside of us. It wasn't easy even for Jesus' own disciples who were with him, who saw him, who abandoned him. And they sat huddled in a room, scared of the people. But we know the upward call of Christ. And God does not abandon us. Even though we adhere to those calls of the world around us, God knows this. He knew that we couldn't by ourselves ignore those calls. And so he gave us his Son, who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. He came, his Son, to this world, and he called to people, sinners, just like you and me, to follow him. He called upon his people, and even when they abandoned him, he forgave them. Even when all of the forces of the devil and all of the evildoers were arrayed against Christ, they nailed him to a tree, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he called down forgiveness. And he calls down forgiveness still to us. For he knew that we couldn't do it on our own. So he gave us the Holy Spirit in our baptism. And in that, he called us our, his, children of God. And the Holy Spirit hears the calls of Christ, hears the calls of the Father, and he understands it. Even when sometimes we don't understand ourselves, the Holy Spirit within us understands the call of God and adheres to it. And God knew that it was going to be tough in this world to hear his call, to keep following through with it. And so he gave us his words, that we would always be reminded of them, that we would always be able to know and to follow him. He gave us his body and blood to eat and to drink so that he could sustain us in this harsh life, in this really harsh and hard call, that we would be refreshed and restored in it. He loved us so much that he gave us the call to be his. And this call he gave to us, it wasn't done just randomly. He did it right before he knew us in the mother's womb. He did it even before he laid down the foundation of the world. God called us to be his. And he gave us the strength to persevere. My fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, it is a hard time to be a Christian in today's world, to be called by God, to be called his. It was difficult back in the day, too. Nathanael and all of his disciples were persecuted very harshly, many of them becoming the very first martyrs of the church. Tradition states that Nathanael actually went to Eastern Europe and to India to bring the gospel. And for that, he was crucified, they said, upside down. Some said he was even flayed alive. The call of Christ is not easy, but it is a call that is full of promise and hope, a call for us to everlasting life, a call for us to put all of our worries and cares on Jesus, for Jesus says, "Come to me, ye who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He calls us to him. He gave us the call also to go out, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them everything I have commanded you. The upward call of Christ is not an easy road, my brothers and sisters. But we follow it. For Christ has called us to be his. He has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And we know that nothing can snatch us from God's hand. That even when this world comes around us and tries to hurt us, we are called by God to be his. And even when temptations come, we know the upward call of Christ is greater than these temptations. So in this year, as begin this year looking toward Christ, following him as he goes in Mark and in John and spreading the gospel to the people of old, let's be refreshed by him in this call, that we may serve Christ in this day and to life everlasting. Amen.